The only real family problems that I ever recall having in my life that was really problems was when my relatives, my children, or my dad and mother, or my wife's dad and mother got into it. Then it was always trouble. Otherwise, it always worked out all right. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like to read to you, beginning at the first verse. I read this, it's just been a night or two ago, I read this just before I left, and I want to comment on it again. I want you to think on it, because I've got one desire. I don't know how long I'll get to be here before I go off again into evangelistic work, but I told you here, it's been, I guess, a year ago or whatever, I said, now do everything you can to work with me. Learn everything you can that I've got to tell you, if you've got any confidence in what I say. If not, find you another church and a preacher that you can have confidence in, because you're going to need to know the Word of God. But learn everything you can, because after a while, I'll be going out into evangelistic work and I'll be going back out to the people abroad. And I won't get to be here with you as much as I want to be with you. And during the time that I'm away from you, you're going to have all kind of problems. You're going to have people to cut across your feelings, and you're going to have complications. You're going to have preachers up here that preaches all kind of things, and you're going to have problems. Now, I ask you to learn all you could. And now the time has come to where we're going to and fro, and we're not getting to be with you as much as we'd like to. And so then you're having some problems. A lot of you are having problems. You that go out into the fields to labor with me, if you don't have a prayer life and seek God, you don't need to go out there with me. Because you get over in the places like Sweden and different places, and devils and demons is going to jump on you. And the first news you know, you're going to be fighting and fussing like a bunch of heathens. That's right. And then you're going to want to blame everybody else and find every bit of the fault you can with somebody else so that you can justify your evils rather than confess them and make your heart clean. Now, so then you don't need to go with me. If you're going to go with me, you need to pray and seek God and be good soldiers. Keep your mouth shut and stay out of other people's business. You don't need to be criticizing America and criticizing little Bethlehem and criticizing somebody else. You need to keep your mind on Jesus. You love the Lord? All right. My desire while I'm here, what little time that I have, my desire is to get your heart, to get control of your heart. I don't want anybody unless I can get control of their heart. Because if I can't get control of their heart, they'll never be nothing but a thorn in my flesh. The Bible said if you spare any of them, they'll be a prick in your side. But if I can get your heart, then I can do something for you and I can do something for God and God can do something for us. But if I can't get your heart, I don't need you, because you'll just be a prick in my side. You'll be a troublemaker. So while I'm here, I'm trying my best to get your heart and get you in one mind and in one accord. If I couldn't have my wife's heart, I wouldn't want her. I wouldn't want her because she'd be a troublemaker. She'd trouble me all of my life. You've got to have somebody's heart. If you can't win somebody's affection by love and by instruction and by living holy, then you don't need them. Because if you've got to rule them by force, whether it's your wife or whether it's your church or whoever it is, if you've got to rule them by force, you've got a poor form of government. That's why the communistic government will never last. It's a rule by force, and it's a satanic thing. How many know God rules by love? God rules by love. You say, well, Brother Pike, you haven't got my respect, but well, you need to change churches. So you haven't got my respect, I don't believe in you, you need to change churches. And the sooner you can do it, the better off you and I'll be. Now, I want to get a hold of your heart, and I want to help you, and I want to lead you, and I want to do all I can. It's just like while I was gone this time, there's a number of the ministers here got all up in the air and got all upset at Brother Attlee because he wouldn't let them preach. But Brother Attlee did exactly what I asked him to do. He was loyal. And he did exactly what I asked him to do. I said, Attlee, when I go off, I said, I know when I'm here, I call all kind of preachers up to preach. I said, but when I'm gone, don't you put all kind of preachers up in my pulpit. I said, because when I come back, a lot of times I find devils and demons and my people tore all to pieces. And I said, I don't want them up there. And he didn't put them up there. And some of you got upset about it. But praise God for Atlee. I believe he done the right thing. And when I come back this time, I found a better atmosphere than most any time I've come back before. That's right. So I thank the Lord for Atlee. I had a vision of him overseas. And even though it was a few little things there that me and him needs to iron out, yet in the vision he was clean before God. And that pleased me well. So then I feel like he done the right thing. Now I love you, and I wouldn't hurt you, and I want to help you. But folks, little Bethlehem cannot be run according to your ticker up here. He can't do it. I can't run little Bethlehem according to your mind. If I try to run this according to your thinking and your plans, little Bethlehem will be in the same mess that you and your home's in. A lot of you coming here, ministers and families and different ones, your whole home and life and everything is all messed up. You're just a drifter. You're a wandering star. You don't hold any post of duty. You don't support anything. You don't stand for anything. Nobody can see a light through you because you don't stand for nothing. You say, well, Brother Pike, I make it all right. You ought to, because you don't ever give the devil any trouble. He don't bother to fight you because you don't ever give him any trouble. But I'll tell you what, it's like Brother A.A. Allen said one time, he picked up a chair. He said, you see this chair? He said, the devil don't give it any trouble because he don't give the devil any trouble. But you give the devil trouble and the devil will give you trouble. Did you know that? So then, we need to link together, fight the devil and be a unit and realize that I can't run little Bethlehem according to your mind. And according to your way of life and according to what you want. I have ministers to come out here and one's got his idea about this and another's got his idea about that and another's got his plan about this. And if I turned you up loose up here, you'd have my people so crossed up and mixed up, they'd be fighting and split up in splinters. Just like I got a report today from a church, a brother I warned, he wouldn't listen. And they was telling me today, he said his church just split right half in two. He had one man there that was helping him, and the man got control of the people and split it half in two and took part of them with him and left part of them. That's exactly what you would do. Paul said, men of your own selves, perverse, rising up with disputing, would separate the flock and lead people off after you. I know that you'd do it through your devilish doings because I've seen you try it already. As long as I'm here, I'll let you up here because I can keep an eye on you. Amen. That's right. I can sit back here, as Brother Branham said, with my double barrel loaded and watch for every wolf. That's right. But a lot of times when I'm gone, I depend on men like Brother Atlee, a loyal man, to stand up here and keep them out and beat them off with the staff till I can get back. That's right. All right. So then I love you and I want to help you and I wouldn't do anything to hurt you. But that old carnal mind of yours is death, and I don't want you messing with the sheep. When I'm gone, it's better that you don't mess with the sheep because I know that it's going to be trouble if you do. All right, reading over in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning at the first verse. Now listen real good. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no questions for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not, for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You know, we have quite a bit of dispute when it comes to the latter part of that statement where he spoke of being followers of me as I follow Christ. If you notice in these writings, Paul emphasizes the fact that we should not fellowship devils. Now, you know, when you get into the subject of devils, people don't like to hear that. That's kind of strong talk. When you say hell, fire, and brimstone, they don't like that kind of thing. They feel like the preacher could stay away from that. When you say something about the dog returning to his vomit and the sow wallowing in the mire, they don't like that kind of thing. When you speak about the hypocrite, they don't like that kind of thing. Isn't that right? And when you talk about devils and demons and evil spirits, they say, why don't Brother Pike leave off with that and talk about the love of God? But folks, I'm talking about the love of God. The love of God tells us that I don't want you to fellowship devils. God said, I don't want you to fellowship devils. If God said not to fellowship devils, then there must be some devils somewhere. There must be some devils in the world that people are fellowshipping, or God wouldn't tell us not to fellowship devils. The Bible said the things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice unto devils. Is that right? The things that they sacrifice in life, they sacrifice them unto devils. Did you know that people that are out yonder in the world, people that are in the flesh, did you know that they're sacrificing their life and their time and their efforts and their labors to devils? Did you know that the devil savors the things that be of the flesh? When Jesus turned to rebuke Peter, he didn't speak to Peter. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He said, "For thou savest the things that be of this world." He knew that the devil loved the things of this world. Satan loves the things of this world. The devil will hound you day and night. Get you a new car. Get you a new house. Get you some money. Get you a better job. Get your business. Why? Because he loves the things that be of this world. Not only that, but after you follow him in those things, he'll say, "Get you another wife." And the first news you know, you got two wives. Come on. That's the way the devil does. He'll tell you one thing and he'll lead you on. He'll get a hold of you. And the first news you know, he's got a hold of you a little more. He's a little stronger in your life. And the first thing you know, you're not satisfied with anything. You just want the things of the world. That's the way it works. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible tells us that we are not to eat at the tables of God and eat at the table of devils. The Bible tells us that you cannot eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. The wicked can't sit in the congregation of the righteous. Did you know that? If a person is wicked and won't confess their sins, they cannot stay in the congregation of the righteousness of God and of the people of God. There's no way they can do it. Because they've got unconfessed sin. They've got to do something. The devil will drive them out of their mind till they do something one way or another. You love Jesus? That's why that I tell you, if you don't have any confidence in the brotherhood of Little Bethlehem, if you don't have any confidence in the preacher, go somewhere, find somebody that you do have confidence in. My own wife, if she didn't have confidence in me, I wouldn't want her to come to church. I'd rather she stay home because she would be a hindrance and an offense unto me. I wouldn't want her to come. And she'd be a hypocrite if she did come. And anybody else would be a hypocrite if they didn't believe in the man of God. If they come to church, they need to stay away. But if you've got confidence in the brotherhood of Little Bethlehem, and confidence in the preacher, and confidence in God, then you need to come to the house of God, whether the preacher's there or whether he's not there. You don't need to stay at home when he's gone. It's the house of God, whether he's there or whether he isn't there. It's still the house of God. Christ is there. Jesus is there. Whether Brother Pike's there or not, God's still there. It doesn't make any difference. It's still God's house. And when you stay away from the house of God and you rebel against the house of God, when somebody has appointed somebody in his stead until he comes back, then you are breaking the commandments and the ordinances of Christ, and you're feeding at the table of devils. A lot of people say, "Brother Pike, I'd follow Jesus, and I'll obey Jesus, and I'll do what Jesus wants me to do." But folks, let me tell you something. The Bible said, "He that receiveth him that I sent, he receives me." You can't receive God unless you receive the man of God. If God sends this brother from Jamaica and he's a man of God, I can't receive Christ unless I receive him. How can I receive God if I don't receive the man of God? That's the only way in the world I can receive Christ, is because I receive him that God sent. Hallelujah. When I feel the presence of Christ, hallelujah, I receive the man of God. And I feel the presence of God and I feel his glory because I receive the man of God. And when the man of God comes and he sits down in my house, and I feed him. I try to feed him my very best. All that I got. The very best that I got. I say, "Sir, sit down." Hallelujah. Like old brother Abraham did when them angels came over there. Abraham bowed down. He got the water and he washed their feet. And he said, "Welcome to my house." Hallelujah. When those angels went down in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot came out over there. And he said, "Welcome to my home." and he rolled out the red carpet for them. When a man of God comes to Bethlehem, roll out the red carpet. Hallelujah. And treat him well, because Christ will bless us for it. If I treat him good, if a man of God comes into my home and I treat him good, and I love him and I help him and I do all I can, then God from heaven, he'll smile down on me. And when things are hard, God will say, share your bread with Brother Pike. Amen. When things get rough, God will tell the angels of heaven, share your bread with Brother Pike and the inhabitants of little Bethlehem. They fed me when I was hungry. They stood by me when I was in need. And I want the blessings of God at little Bethlehem. I want God to be with me. I want God to be with my people. I want to stand strong in the Spirit of God and in the things of God. And brethren, when I feel devils and demons and evil spirits, I'm going to say something about it. You can call me a devil. You can call me a hypocrite. You can call me a liar, cheat, whatever you want to. But when demons and devils come around, I'm going to say something about it. And when I'm out on my tour, whether it's in Sweden, whether it's in South America, when I feel devils and demons, I'm going to say something about it. You can call me a liar and a hypocrite, but I'm still going to say something about it. I know when the lust of the flesh is present. I know when devils and demons are gnawing at the body of humanity. I can tell when they're around. You love Jesus? God said, I would that you should not eat at the table of devils, but I want you to eat at the table of God. Folks, we got a table of God. You have me believe this is a table of God? And this table's not filled with vomit. The Bible said all of the tables are filled with vomit, but God is raising up some tables that's not filled with vomit. What is vomit? He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. And brother, when you're lukewarm, God spews you out of the mouth and the table is filled with vomit. But God has not spewed little Bethlehem out of his mouth. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. God's with us. Amen. And as long as we walk upright, as long as we love Jesus, God will continue to be with us. Oh, hallelujah. As long as these ladies stand like ladies, walk around and not ashamed, but walk through Monroe and the different parts of the world, stand up and say, I'm a lady. Inside and out, I'm a lady. I'm clean in my heart. Wear the long dresses and stand for Jesus. I'll guarantee you God will favor a little bit to him. Oh, hallelujah. The sheriff came out today, came to my place and was talking to me, asked some questions. He acted like he was a little disturbed because of somebody. But when he left, he sent me word back. Said, tell Mr. Pike, I'm sorry I troubled him. Said, I know that he don't have time for all these kind of things. He said, I'm sorry. What is that? God making him take a bow. God giving us the respect that we need. They know that God is with little Bethlehem. And as long as our people become alive and stand up for righteousness, they'll have to stand off and see that light and say there's something in little Bethlehem. Oh, hallelujah. And the world will see a light. And your light will shine around the world like a great beacon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And like the song said, those that are just about to crash up on the reefs, they'll look and see that great tower. And they'll see that great searchlight. And somebody will say, there's a light at little Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Don't you want to stand for Jesus? Don't you want to keep the presses rolling? Don't you want those offices to function for Christ? Don't you want this gospel to go out into the foreign places of Europe and around the world? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. If you really believe it, say hallelujah. Glory to God, let's be some lively stones for Christ. You walk down the avenues of Europe, the different places. Glory to God, Bill, you see the need and you see the hunger. And Paul said, when I went into that place in Athens, he said, my spirit was stirred within me. I saw the idolatry and the whole city given to idolatry, and like fire shot up in his bones. He felt like ministering Christ. And brethren, let me tell you something. When you got God in your heart, it's like fire shut up in your bones. You see those things and you just feel like you got to minister Christ. Just got to tell them about Jesus. Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to be part of that? Why stay at home and die? Why just sit around and not do nothing for God? You're not getting any younger. You're not getting any younger. Why wait and throw your life away? I told some people today, I was talking to them. I said, look, I said, you're 27 years old. I said, your teens are already gone. You can't do anything in your teenage, it's already gone. And I said, if you're not careful, in a little while, your manhood, your youthful manhood is going to be gone. And you'll find yourself a middle-aged man. Then you won't ever be able to do anything during your youthful manhood. Isn't that right? Why not go on and do something for God? Why mess around feeding the belly all of your life? Don't you know that's all you're doing? You feed your belly because your belly craves it of you. All of your labor's for your belly. How do you know that? You labor for your belly. You get up in the morning. You labor all day long to feed your belly. And feed your wife's belly and feed your children's belly. That's all you do. All of the labor's for the belly. If you got a successful business, why are you a success? So you can feed your belly. Be a great, successful businessman. Why? So you can feed your belly and work others so they can feed their bellies. What a great success, a belly operation. All of your labor's for your belly. But boy, let me tell you something. Get up and do something for Jesus. Glory to God, we got an operation in Little Bethlehem. It's not a belly feeder, but it's something for God to stand up and feed the hunger for Christ. You know, the prophet of old, one of the prophets of old, they got all stirred up and the Lord said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I'm jealous. You know, a lot of folks don't like jealousy. I go to God a lot of times and I say, Lord, you're jealous over me. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I'm jealous over you. And I say, Lord, you're jealous over me. You don't want me to have a spot or a blemish. You don't want the devil to touch me in any way. And I say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad you're jealous over me. Lord, be more jealous over me because I know that you're concerned about me. I treat it with such great respect. A lot of people don't have any jealousy over anything. Over their bodies, over their life, over their substance. You got an automobile, you don't want everybody messing with it if you're a wise man. Man's got a decent automobile. Does he want everybody messing with it? No. How much less does he want somebody to tamp around with his wife? Or a woman with her husband? Their substance is precious. God don't want nobody to tamp around with me. He don't want me to mess around with the devil. Paul said, I'm jealous of you. Flock of God of Little Bethlehem, I'm jealous of you. I don't want just any minister up here messing around with you. Hallelujah. I'm jealous of you with a godly jealousy that I might present you to Christ without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. Hallelujah. When you stand there before God, and I can say, Lord, these are mine. And I long to hear God say, Brother Pike, these are without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. Jesus said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. Let the world leave me alone. Let the world leave me alone. Be unspotted by the world. You love Jesus? So then Paul said, don't eat at the table of devils. Folks, don't go out there and partake. You turn on a television set and you watch the rotten things on television. You pick up a newspaper and you drink in the filthy things out of that newspaper. You pick up some catalog out of some dry goods store and you swallow down that the swine eats. Don't go back to the vomit of the world, that which is vomiting up. Don't go back and laugh it. Spit it out. Get it out so you won't be sick. Be a good Christian and stay away from that kind of stuff. Don't put pictures up in your little trailers down here and around in your dwellings that are obscene pictures. Don't put those things up there before you. Don't drag old dirty comic books and filthy trash and books, love books, half religious and half of the devil into your homes. Get rid of that stuff. People are so half and half and so desirous to get into the things of the world. Anything that's got religion wrote on it, they'll grab it. You say, brother, don't you know the devil has got that song? Don't you know that that thing is just religious, but it's anointed of the devil? No, that's got Christian words to it. Stay away from it. Stay away from the paper. Stay away from the billboard. Stay away from anything that's unlike Christ. The Bible says, shun the very appearance of evil. If a person's not dressed right, get your eyes off of them. If you see the wrong thing on the billboard, turn away from it. Keep it out of your yard, out of your car, away from your home. Be clean. Be clean. Be holy. Don't try to eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. Clean up your heart. This religious thing of just being pious, coming to church and coming to little Bethlehem, when you know good and well that you've not been born again and you know that you've not got your heart right with God. Don't you know the devil's got you? Don't you know that you can't get around the devil? That wherever you go, you still got the devil with you. You got to get him out of your heart. Get him out of your heart. Somebody said, Brother Pike, how do I know when he's out of my heart? You won't be carnally minded. The Bible said to be carnally minded is death. You don't pass from death unto life until you pass from the carnal mind to the mind of Christ. When you pass from the carnal mind to the mind of Christ, you pass from death unto life. Is that right? To be carnally minded is death. What is the carnal mind? It's the first birth. When you're born into this world, you got a mind. What kind of mind is it? It's the mind of a beast. It's the carnal mind. You know, a lot of folks don't like that. But you got the mind of a beast. It doesn't make any difference if you get to be the president. It doesn't make any difference if you get to be a great statesman. Get a good education. You still got the mind of a beast. But my brother, when you're born again, hallelujah, when you're born again by the blood, by the Spirit of God, then you've got the mind of Christ. You've got life everlasting. Then you got somebody to watch over you. You got a vision through life. You got something to... Oh, I feel him, don't you? Oh, you got something on the inside that strengthens you. Hallelujah. Like Brother Walker preached today, David said, he's my life. He's the strength of my life. Hallelujah. David filled the surge of God's power when the enemy was coming. David and Shadrach can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. And he made believers out of them fellas too. Did you know that? 10,000 Philistines line up before David. The Spirit of God had come on him. He'd do them like Samson did. He'd take the sword till it cleaved to his hand. And he'd run through a troop and leap over a wall. And them folks shook like a leaf on a tree. Amen. I really believe that. I believe that though the most courageous men of the Philistines was present, when somebody would call the name of Samson or call the name of David, I believe the whole army shook. Amen. Just one man. One man. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you could serve God and leave a light until the devils and the demons literally shook when they heard your name called? Hallelujah. They shake and tremble. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? So you get to the place to where you serve God and you love Jesus. And you know that you love Jesus and you know that Jesus loves you. And like them devils and demons said, they said, Paul, I know. Amen. Don't be bringing him around here. Isn't that right? Them demons said, now if you want to talk about Paul, Let's just leave things alone. Amen. I know about that fella. Don't be bringing him around here. You know why? Because Paul and devils didn't mix. Amen. Wherever Paul was, devils wasn't. Is that right? For when Paul came, devils left. And if we'll stand up for God in a little Bethlehem, the devils and the demons can't stay here. But brother, if we don't hold up the blood-stained banner of Christ, the devils and the demons will come in here and live with us. Be bold as a lion. Be harmless as a dove. Be wise as a serpent. Stand up for God. Don't stand up in lambast and be mean and contrary. Have the love of God, but keep your sword in your hand. And the Bible said, dip your sword in the blood. Said, cursed is the man that will not dip his sword in the blood. If a man stand there and he say, well, I don't want to hurt nobody. You're no good to God. Amen. Pull your sword out. Say, I'm a peace-loving man. Hallelujah. But when God says, go, I'm a man of war. I'll dip my sword in your blood. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Joshua, when the angel got near, he pulled out his sword. He said, are you coming in peace? He's ready to fight. And that angel said, I'm the captain of the Lord God of hosts. Oh, Joshua, he lost all of his strength. He fell right down. All of the fight was taken out of him. Isn't that right? When a man said, I'm a son of God, to put that sword back in the sheath. Amen. Hallelujah. But if it's the devil, dip your sword in his blood. Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I feel like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall, don't you? Amen. Glory to God. And so then what we need to do is stand for God. I feel like I could preach for another hour, but I'm going to get you to stand with me. Will you stand with me? I really feel like I could preach another hour easy. But I want you to stand with me. We're in a war, folks. The Bible said, no man goeth to warfaring at his own charge. I didn't join the army of God. God drafted me into it. I didn't go out on the battlefield of my own accord. Over 20 years I've been on the battlefield. God sent me out to it. And today I feel his anointing mightily upon me. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah! I feel his presence. The Spirit of God is upon me. For he has anointed me. Glory to God, I feel that anointing. I feel that surging. I feel that moving. For he has anointed me, Jesus said, to preach the gospel. That's what we need to do, is to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. I love you. I love you. I love you. And Jesus loves you. But folks, we've got to do something for God. That's all it is to it. I can't rest day or night. I told my wife today, I said, Betty, I feel like just getting into the motorhome, pulling off somewhere, just getting by myself, Jim, to talk to Jesus. Just to talk to Jesus. Filled up and overflowing. Filled up and overflowing. I already feel like I'm filled up and overflowing. David said, my cup runs over. But I'm so hungry for God. I hunger and I thirst. My soul cries and I weep. I love him. I want him. I want a taste of him. I want him to be part of me and to be part of him. You know, it's like when you fall in love with a young girl. You're a young boy. You fall in love with her. Day and night, you can't rest. You can't rest if it's real love. You can't rest. The moments that you're away from her, you just can't hardly stand it. You're alone for the time that you can get to her, get her in your arms. And like Brother Walker said, then you're satisfied. You embrace her, and she embraces you, and you love her, and you got the dearest thing to your heart right close to you. Then you feel so at rest. So at rest. But the moments that you're away from her, it is so horrible. And that's the way I feel. If I feel any distance between me and him, it's so horrible. I want him to embrace me. And I want to embrace him. And I want to feel close to him. Like Brother Branham said one time about his wife. He said, I love my wife so much. He said, I feel like I could just take her on the inside of me. Just take her on the inside of me. Well, you know what? That's the way it is with Jesus. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he's on the inside of us. That's what we did. The kingdom of God's within you. He satisfies. He satisfies. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. How are you looking forward to camp meeting? I want you to pray, ask God to bless us. And I believe that he will bless us. When Brother Walker was up here this morning, I felt camp meeting atmosphere, didn't you? I did. I felt it. You love Jesus? Hallelujah.